ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER101. We're going to continue our discussion on sports injuries with Dr. Wanninger, a sports medicine expert. And we were talking about concussion because it is a very big issue today, and we're just finding permanent disability sometimes with these kids that get repeated concussions. And basically, probably it's obvious, what are the sports that are the greatest risk for boys and then maybe girls for concussion?
Well, the obviously football tends to have the most, but that also tends to have at times the most numbers. So football, soccer, but really every sport can. Any sport where contact can hit, obviously for women tend to have less injuries because they tend to be much smarter in their play, I think. Obviously, cheerleading, recent work out of the University of North Carolina, Dr. Mueller does a catastrophic sports surveys and has been following these injuries for the last 30 years, and obviously, cheerleading is by far the has the most catastrophic injuries as for women.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? And it's not on the college level. It's probably not just women either. But, yeah, some of those injuries, I guess when you're being thrown like 25 feet in the air, if something goes wrong, right, something definitely goes wrong. But what was interesting, you know, and I know the American Academy of Neurologists came out with some data, and also you said there was a Zurich conference that talked about it. So what was the main issue that they wanted to get across now versus, you know, the last 15 years ago when there were some regulations and guidelines related to concussion?
I think the most important thing for us to recognize is that we need to recognize minor concussion and we need to keep those athletes out. It's a little different than in our sports medicine mentality where we take people and we sort of blend, you know, you sort of injury and you get them into rehab and you go. If you think about it, it's more like a disjoint set this time. You know, if you have a concussion, we don't want you doing anything. If you sprain your ankle, we want you to rest your ankle. If you sprain your brain, we want you to rest your brain. And as long as you respect Mother Nature and you allow the brain to heal, it'll do well. If you try to go back and you're still symptomatic or you still have underlying brain injury and you have a minor second injury, there's a synergistic relationship that we don't really understand that can make a very minor injury into a major catastrophic injury. Not even a catastrophic injury as far as death or disability, but even from an academic point of view. We need to teach our coaches. We need to do rule changes. I think, you know, I played 18 years of football. I love the sport. But we have to realize that 10-year-old kids don't have to be hitting each other in the head. This cumulative hitting of especially young brains, you know, the younger you are, the more vulnerable you are and the longer it takes to get better. It's much easier for us to treat an 18-year-old than it is a 12-year-old because the 12-year-olds have a longer protracted course, and even when they feel better, when you do neuropsych tests, even though they say I feel better, they're not better. They lag. So that's good. Sorry.
No, I was going to say. So the key is, if a trainer or coach suspects a concussion, immediately remove them from the play. And part of it, I think, is you have to change the mentality in sports, right, per se, right? Because there's this thing, no pain, no gain. Right. You know, a lot of students will lie or not be, you know, so truthful about how they feel, right? Because, you know,
it's
they don't want to be taken out.
It's interesting, less of the kids are lying now because I think more kids are now frightened by concussion as well. In the state of Pennsylvania, where I practice, there's a LISAG law, which was just put in July of 2012, where by law, you're required, if somebody has a concussion, they are not allowed to go back for 24 hours. So now, not only is it academically astute, but now if you send somebody back to play who has had a concussion, you're breaking the law. So I hate to, it's never good when the legal system dictates medical care, but in this case, I mean, there is no return to play if you suspect a concussion. And licensed athletic trainers are very good at this. They're well trained. They can recognize a concussion, and they're good at it. And so that's
another
issue.
I think there are state laws, and it's pretty interesting. The American Academy of Neurology actually has this free app that I was looking at that gives you a quick checklist. So, you know, say that you're not a licensed trainer and you're gotten your kid's little league team or pee wee football. There's actually the common signs, things that you can observe, and they give you a little checklist. And they also, of course, give you a list of local neurologists if you need to have your kids seen by one. And then some of the state laws. So there are some laws coming along now in the state, at least to protect kids for concussion. Which
I think
is
as
important.
Coaches, they need to recognize if the kid has any amnesia, that's one thing we forgot about it to mention. So if they can't remember the score, they can't remember any aspect of amnesia, any aspect of confusion, any fogginess, they don't feel right, they have a headache, any of these symptoms, you know, and you can't wait till they get better because you don't know. And that's the difficulty in the emergency department. You work on a Friday night, you see somebody, they had a concussion on the field. By the time they see you, it's an hour and a half later, and they're perfectly normal. The problem is you don't know how they'll feel the next day. And so I never return somebody within 24 hours. I have to see them several days later, and then you see them, and you're like, ooh. Because they'll say, wow, I felt great when I went to sleep. I woke up, and I'm just confused and disoriented. I can't. So it's an interesting and an evolving academic base that we're learning as we go.
Yeah, and I think that you're bringing up a good point because it should be multidisciplinary approach. Certainly, I can't picture as an emergency physician ever giving someone the go-ahead to go back and play. I mean, they need more of an evaluation than, you know, me seeing them, especially if they come in acutely, you know, and you get the CAT scan because a coach sent them in because they were hurt. And, you know, you're checking them out. They need a follow-up, and it should be multidisciplinary, a sports medicine person, you know. But there are some centers that people are giving them the go-back. And how is that? Shouldn't you be working with neurologists about it?
Even when I work in the emergency department on a Friday night, and I've been doing concussion management for 20 years, I can't return them back because I don't think there's anything I can do on a Friday night after they've been diagnosed with a concussion that can tell you how they're going to be the next day. Mm-hmm. And the most dangerous aspect of return to play is when they've had a concussion that's unresolved. I don't care how many concussions they've had in their life, as long as each one got better on its own. But when you have one concussion on top of another, people often say, how many concussions is too many? Well, two could be too many if they're backed up to each other, and that's why I think you have to be a little bit cautious.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's important. And there are, you know, clinics now, but it really, don't you think, and briefly, because that it should be multidisciplinary. They need to have some type of neuropsych testing to decide that they're absolutely better, or can you go by symptoms?
I think,
very quickly.
Well, it depends. If you have baseline neuropsych tests, they can help. I do think it has to be multidisciplined. And I think if your readers are interested, I think the Clinical Journal Sports Medicine 2012 has a great review, the Zurich guidelines. And it truly in one document will bring you up to, as well as the neurology guidelines. These guidelines will bring you back.
Thank you. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lieven Ocher on Radio MD. Stay well.